Have your Bibles this morning. If you would, please turn to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, chapter 4. Book of Philippians, chapter 4. Our text is going to be verse 4 through 7. Beginning in chapter 4, God's Word says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." The title of our lesson today is Joy and Peace in Christ Jesus. Paul said in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." When Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was in jail in Rome, waiting to be executed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he knew that his time was near. But he had learned at whatever state that he was in to be content, regardless of his circumstances of his life. If you look in the same chapter, if you look over on verse 11 of chapter 4, this is Paul speaking. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." As he said in verse 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And he said again, "I say rejoice." He said that twice because he knows that the world that we live in, the things that we face, that sometimes it gets very hard. It gets very hard to rejoice. But in Book of Psalms, the Bible says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And Paul had learned what to be content. Down in verse 19 of this same chapter, he's talking to the Philippians. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When Paul said here in verse 4, I wonder if he was talking about Psalm 40. If you will, look at Psalm 40, verse 5. You know, we have happiness in this world, but happiness comes and goes. Things change, people change, circumstances change, but the joy of our Lord, it never changes. I like it where it says that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. But here in Psalm 40, in verse 5, I really try to enter into this if we can. He says, David says, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward." He's talking to the elect. He's talking to the ones that God the Father had placed in the Son before the foundation of the world. And the Son hung on that cross for 9 hours. And he died and he bled for our sins. It says, "They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would," listen to this, "if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Then in Psalm 6, it says, "Blessed is the man who thou choosest." Our Lord Jesus Christ said that no man can cometh unto the Father except by growing. No man can come unto me except the Father growing. It says here, "Blessed is a man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in the courts. We shall be satisfied with thy goodness of thy house, even of the holy temple." The only sure, reliable, unmovable, unchangeable source that we have in this life is our Lord. And we thank God so much for His Word, His written Word. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Psalms 1, I'm going to read the first three verses and think about it. When David wrote these verses, he had only five books. He had the five books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. How many books do we have today? We have the whole batch. We've got all 66 books. But he says here, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But listen to this. "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doeth he meditate day and night." He's talking about the written word here. This is the mind and the heart and the soul of God talking to his people. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper." Our faith, our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that in order to have spiritual stability, we must rejoice in the Lord. Not only on Sunday morning and Sunday night, but Wednesday night, we're to rejoice each and every day of our lives. For everything that we have in this life, it comes from God. Every person that we love, our children, our loved ones, all the material things that we have, everything belongs to God, because He is absolute sovereign. He's absolute sovereign, and nothing happens without His permissive and His directive will. We rejoice in His grace because it's always sufficient. It's always sufficient. We rejoice in His blood because it always cleanses. We rejoice in His righteousness, which justifies. We rejoice in His works, not our works, because the Bible says that our works is as filthy rags. We rejoice not in our faith, but we rejoice in His faithfulness. We must always remember that. And we rejoice because we believe, and we believe because He enabled us to believe. And we thank Him for that. We love Him. We love Him not only because we love Him only because He first loved us. If you will, go back to your text. He says again, "Rejoice in the Lord." God's people rejoice in the Lord and the fact that God, and this is something that you don't hear a whole lot in religion, but He is absolute. And I love that word absolute when I'm speaking of our Lord and our Savior. When I'm speaking of the Trinity, I love this word absolute. He's absolute in providence. If you will, turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. There's so many places in the Word that speaks of His sovereignty and providence and salvation, creation. But I like this verse right here. If you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is a kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. reigneth over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and we praise thy glorious name. And also in Providence, when it comes to his elect, I love this verse right here, and we all know it by heart. And we know that all things work together to the good, to them that love God, to them that are the call. It's not a blanket love to every son of Adam, but to them that are the call, to them that love God. And I thank him for that. I say here in Revelation, talking about creation, he says in Revelation 4, speaking of Christ Jesus, he says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." If you turn back to your text, over on the other page, Colossians 1, speaking of creation, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ here, it says in Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and it is by him that all things consist." And then in salvation, he is absolute sovereign, and I thank the Lord for that, because if one of God's sheep could fall, or if I could fall, I'd fall 1,000 times every day. I would. If I'm opening my mouth, I'm sinning. Even sometimes when I'm praying, I'm sinning. That's just who we are. It's just flesh. It says here in Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. And then we love this verse here in Ephesians 2. And this is the absolute truth of God. It says, "For by grace," what is that? God giving us something we don't belong. What did he give us? He gave us his only begotten Son, where he died on that cross. And through the shedding of his innocent blood, through his perfect righteousness to the Father, we have our righteousness. And it says, "That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And then I like it over there. I love it over there where Paul and Barnabas, they're preaching to the Jews, and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Jews reject the message. So Paul and Barnabas, they go to the Gentiles, and they preach the message of Jesus Christ and them crucified to the Gentiles, which we are Gentiles. And guess what? They believed. It says in Acts 13:48, and it says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord." And don't miss out on this, what this says right here, because it speaks to the absolute sovereignty of God. It says, "And to as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed." And I thank God for that. We rejoice in his word because it's absolute truth. And a lot of his word that he speaks as if it's already happened, because in the eyes of God, it has. It says here in 1 John chapter 3, it says, he's talking to his elect. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Can you imagine what a blessing that's going to be at the feet of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ? We need to rejoice in the Lord continuously. Christ should not be a part of our life. He is our life. And regardless of what we face in this life and circumstances that we face, I like what Habakkuk 3 said here. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall not yield, and the fields shall not bear fruit, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And yet," what does he say? He says, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the joy of my salvation, because that's where our salvation rests. It rests in God and God alone. It rests in our Lord Jesus Christ. It rests in His grace, not our works. John, then when it comes to his, when it comes to the knowledge that he's coming back, you know, we look back at his coming, but we also look forward to his coming. God's people look forward to his coming. He says in John 14:1-3, he says this a whole lot to his people. He says, you know, the world that we live in and the circumstances that we face and see each and every day of our lives, you know, he says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. That's Jesus talking. He says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And listen to this. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's a promise from our Lord. I thank him for that. And then in Titus, looking for his coming again, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We rejoice in the Lord at all times and in all conditions. It says here in Job, I like what Job said. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy his body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's a promise from our Lord. I thank him for that. It's a blessing. Let's go back to our text, if you would. Verses 4 and 5, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your moderation be known to all men. It's not necessarily talking about eating and drinking there, although that is important. But it's talking about let all men in and out of the church, whether you're at work, at school, or whether you're at, whether you're among people that are believers or non-believers. It says that we need to let them recognize our gentle spirit. We should have consideration of others. We should have a forgiving spirit. Colossians 3 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. We must remember that the Lord is always near. He's always with us. The Bible says, what know ye not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. He is always with us. And we need to realize that. And he gives us strength to handle adversity and trials when they come our way. And we need to handle them in a way that the Lord would handle them and not allow the flesh to get in the way. If you would, sometimes I'm so guilty of forgetting this, but look at Ephesians, if you would, Ephesians 6. It's over just a few pages. Ephesians 6. Verse 10, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. So think about this, you know. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's why we need to rejoice in the Lord every day. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen to this. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Then in verse, he says, be careful. He says, be careful. Don't be anxious. You can't help but be concerned about things that we face. But he's saying, don't let anxiety take over your mind. Don't fret over things. He says, I'll take care of it for you. The Lord is near, and he will always be near. He says here in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Everything should be tucking to the Lord in prayer. Everything. And that means everything. No matter how little or how small, we need to take it to His loving care. And we should have the mood of our life should be a prayerful mood. And when He talks about supplication here, He's talking about specific needs that we need. And you know what? We're a very needy people. We need things every day. And we need those. And God, we need to know that God is always with us. And we need to do it with thanksgiving. You know, a lot of times we think, we forget that everything that we have in this life, He provides it. And you know what? He always will. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You know, when it comes to God's elect, there never was a time that He did not love His elect. And there never will be a time that He will not love His elect, nor take care of them. It's forever. You know, sometimes when I think about God, you know, I can think, well, you know, when I pass from this life, I'm going to be present with the Lord, and I'm going to live forever, and He's going to be with me. But think about this. There never was a time when Christ Jesus wasn't. There never was a time when God the Father wasn't. There never was a time when God the Holy Spirit. They've always been, and they always will be. And they have a people. The Father picked a bride out for His Son. And He died on the cross for Him. It says here, to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That's a blessing. And I want to finish with one thing, because it is a blessing. If you will, turn to Romans just for a second. Romans 8. We're so blessed to have the Word of God. It's got so many wonderful promises in there for us. But in Romans 8, verse 33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ. It is Christ that died, yet rather is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress? Do we not all experience those things? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, that for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We, God's elect, are the most blessed and the richest people on the face of this earth. And I thank Him for that. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's rejoice in the Lord every day. Because He gives us a joy that's deep down. Like I said, happiness changes. But that joy, we know that the Lord does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen.